Good morning, everyone. Hope you had a lovely Christmas and New Year. Thank you for joining us today. It's good to see you all. As Miriam said, my name is Mike. If I haven't met you before, hello, lovely to meet you. As our pastors are away at the moment, I've been asked to preach the morning sermon. For those of you who attend the night service, this one may sound a little familiar. It's one I preached back in November, but I pray that God can still show you fresh truth within it. Let's pray right now. Father God, we know that all truth comes from you. You are the source of love, of perfection, of hope, of faith. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we have nothing. So I pray, Father, stir your spirit within us. Open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to hear your word, to hear your truth. Help us to see your light, to understand your ways. Give us your courage to walk in your footsteps. Lift us up when we fall. Support us when we stumble. And draw us closer and closer into your arms. You are our Father, and as your children, we need your guidance, your wisdom, your discipline, and your love. Grow us and change us, renew us, and shape us into the people who you created us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the start of last year, Gavin sent the preaching roster out to those of us on the preaching team. When I checked it, I found that I'd been assigned to a sermon series called A Psalm to Remember. Specifically, he'd asked me to preach a sermon on a psalm that speaks to me. This presented a bit of a problem for me because I didn't really have one. I'd tried to read the book of Psalms a few times in the past, but I've always bounced off it, and there are three reasons for that. Number one, Psalms is a book of poetry. I don't mean by that the Psalms rhyme or they follow structured verse, although some of them do. But rather, the book uses very poetic language. Figurative, flowery metaphors and similes. Lots of symbolic imagery. I am a very literal-minded person. You just have to ask my wife about that. From time to time, I write her love messages telling her that I love her and why I love her. You won't find any place in my messages where I'm comparing her to a flower or a sunset, or a goat. Does anyone else think that Solomon was a bit weird? I don't know that much about women, but even I know better than to compare my wife to a goat. Reason number two, Psalms is a very emotional book. That's something we'll explore more later. As for me, I'm not that emotional as a person. Contrary to certain accusations that have been made about me in the past, I'm not a robot. But I do have my emotions, I just don't seem to feel them as strongly as a lot of other people do. And I've never really let them hold much sway over the way that I communicate. Reason number three, Psalms is a very weird mix of praise, emotional outburst, and prophecy. It can be really hard to separate the three. Sometimes they overlap. We'll also pick up more on that later. Maybe I don't have batteries. Can I get the next slide, please, Philip? So all this presented me with a bit of a conundrum. How could I preach the Psalms at all, much less one that speaks to me? Well, thankfully, ours is not the kind of God to drop a challenge on someone and then say, "Later, loser! Have fun with that!" So early into last year, I took on leadership within one of our church's small groups. Having done so, I informed them that they would be helping me to learn some Psalms. I'll be honest, we didn't make it very far in. Our group has been hammered by sickness and other difficulties over the last year. We've had a lot of cancellations, and Psalms is a very big book to begin with. But we got through it far enough that even with me struggling to wrap my head around it, patterns started to emerge. And helpfully, there are people within my group who have a much better grasp of the figurative, thanks Jennifer, than I do, and they were able to help me open up meanings in the text. You know, small groups, Bible studies, they're not just for the leader to teach you, they're also for you to teach the leader. I strongly recommend that everybody gets involved in one. One of the things that became very quickly apparent is that Psalms is a book about communication. It's a book of people who've opened their hearts up and told God how they really feel. Sometimes that shows up as praise. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and then crowned them with glory and honor. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is all your name. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Sometimes they show up as contrition. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, but my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow and they fail because of all my foes. Sometimes it manifests as a call for help. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head higher. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Sometimes it's just the psalmist lodging a complaint. Why, Lord, do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man, he hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and he reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? The key thing that links all these types of psalms together is honesty, specifically emotional honesty. God wants us to tell him how we feel. Our God is not a God who wants to distance himself from us. He doesn't put up walls to stop us from approaching him. The angels aren't a perimeter of bodyguards around him to stop us from interrupting him. He calls us his children. And he invites us to call him Father, because that is what we are. And as his children, we can approach him with what we feel. I'm a father too. I have a 2.5-year-old, getting towards 3-year-old little daughter who's somewhere around here. As her father, I deeply desire to have a relationship with her. I want to show her how much I love her. I want her to show me how much she loves me. I want her to trust me enough to tell me what she honestly feels. Even when she's upset with me because I've said no, or I've made her do something that she didn't want to do. I cannot have that if I spend my life trying to silence her. I can't have that if I don't listen to her. I can't have a relationship with her if I refuse to allow her to say her piece to me. Our Father in heaven is no different. He created us with feelings, emotions, desires. To a degree, sin has come along and corrupted those. Even so, he still wants to hear from us. He still wants a relationship with his children. And as part of that, he wants us to talk to him openly and honestly. And that includes coming to him with grief and anger as well. It's not the only reason that the book of Psalms exists, but it is a major one. Psalms shows us that it is okay to be honest with God under all circumstances. There are some really difficult, even horrible things written in the Psalms. There are sections where the psalmist calls out in anger, in grief, perhaps even in self-righteousness, for God to inflict injury and atrocity upon their enemies. In one of the Psalms earlier, David asked God to break the arms of the people who have upset him. In another place, he asked him, knock their teeth out. Psalm 137 is one of the most difficult parts of the Bible to read. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Let's be honest. That is horrible. And it is in the Bible. Is it a picture of who God is? Does God condone this? Is this the God that we worship? I've heard atheists point to these verses as proof that God is evil or that the Bible is contradicting itself. But no. Such an interpretation comes from reading the text without care for the context. These are all emotional outbursts from sinful people calling out to God with how they feel. They are being honest with God, and that much is good, but it doesn't make what they are asking for, what they're calling for, right. We can compare this to Jonah, when he complained to God about how God had showed mercy to the Ninevites. Jonah was being honest about how he felt about God's decisions, complaining that the city was still standing and the people still lived. But he was still in the wrong. And just like with Jonah, these sections of the Psalms represent broken, sinful people who were honest with God about how they felt. And maybe you might think, what's the point of calling out to God? He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He knows this stuff already. That's true. He does. But there is no relationship in him simply reading your mind from a distance. That's not communication. God wants us to express ourselves to him. He wants to hear us talking to him. He wants to hear us to hear him respond. You may or may not have encountered them, but there are some people who believe that God just went quiet after he'd handed down the New Testament. He'd said all he had on to say, and then he just left, stayed silent ever since. No, this is incorrect. God still talks to us. For those who are willing to listen, God talks. God desires relationships with us. And relationships cannot survive, let alone thrive, without dialogue and discussion. He wants to live with us through all of our feelings, both good and bad. This is how relationships grow. This is how our bonds are strengthened, through shared experience. God asks us to invite him into our lives so that he can walk with us through everything that we experience, because that's how we grow closer to him. The good news is you don't need to be a poet to achieve this. You don't need to be an expert in flowery comments or heart-quivering depictions of dread. You can just tell it to God straight up. You don't need to tell God that you cried so hard that your bed up and floated down the Todd River. Just be honest. When you are full of joy, go to God in honesty. Father, I'm just feeling so good right now. I have so much joy. It is awesome. Thank you. When you are angry, go to God in honesty. God, why didn't you give me that job? It was perfectly suited to me. It would have provided better for my family. It would have provided opportunities to shine your light in that workplace. You opened the door and then you just slammed it shut in my face. When you are grieving, go to God in honesty. Why, God? Why would you give us a pregnancy? Why would you get our hopes up? Why would you make us so happy just to rip it away? Why would you take our child from us before we could even meet them? These are all examples of situations that I've been in, emotions that I've had to share with God. And sometimes in these situations, our emotions become so intense that we can't put words to them. In these times, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes through us through wordless groans. And we can also go to the Psalms and we can use those words that have already been written for us. God wants us to be honest with him. He wants us to allow ourselves to be emotionally vulnerable to him. Because that opens the door for him to provide healing and comfort and teaching and wisdom and discipline and all sorts of other growth that is ultimately going to shape us into the people that he created us to be. And it will draw us closer into his arms. And that is what a good father wants for his children.